This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Milwaukee. Start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, trucks, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, it's Final Inspection on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Here's Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Jeff Orlowski, you know what?
What?
They're running at Great Lakes Dragway as we speak.
Oh, God, it's a beautiful thing.
The track is open.
Spring is here.
Finally, with just weeks away from Summerfest. spring is here.
Glorious. It is glorious. I can't wait to get out there.
We're going to have our glorious 2 or 3 weeks of spring, and then next thing you know, you and I will be sweating like pigs.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, this is one of them years. It feels like it's going straight from the heat straight to the air conditioner. So
I think so.
You know, but I can't wait to get out to Great Lakes, man. It's always a good time out there.
Yes, sir. And yeah, they announced on Facebook a couple days ago they are running, and it's about time, because in the past they've been running for a couple weeks already, but not this year. It's been a brutal one, but thankfully we've come around that corner, and spring is finally here. And I also like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Road. Make sure to check them out at davidhobbs.com. And so I got a story to tell you, Jeff.
All right, story time with the Z-Man.
So before that though, so we were voted the greatest radio show
in the history of the world.
In the history, okay, yeah. This is official now. It's somewhere.
Yeah, somebody asked me, what's the greatest radio show in the history of the world? I said, of course, the Final Inspection Show. So it's official. Pipe Bomb approved.
Pipe Bomb approved. That's our new, I think that's it. Pipe Bomb approved. So we're going to talk about social media.
All right.
And here it is. Old Steve doesn't get up that early on Saturdays.
Okay.
Steve likes to sleep in. I'm just one of these guys. The perfect schedule for me would be to get up at like between 9 and 10 o'clock and be up until like 2.
Okay.
That's the way I've always been. Worked third shift for a few years. Never really bothered me. Second shift, no problem. So mornings, never been a morning person. But anyways, I get up and I'm, doing some prep work on the show. And you go to different social media sites. And what happens? It's the giant time suck, isn't it?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm just going to check this real quick before bed, and 2 hours later, you're still awake.
And you know what's worse is videos.
Oh, yeah.
The videos are the worst, and they know this. Our friends in Palo Alto have been pushing videos more and more on their website. And the first time I noticed this was a couple years ago down in Indianapolis. And I'm at my buddy's house. And I'll mention him, Danny Gurney, son of Dan Gurney, good guy. And me and my buddy are sitting on his porch. He's got a great porch to just sit and people watch. Because he lives close enough to the track, there's always foot traffic. And we're just sitting, chilling out on the front porch. And there's some people coming in and out of the house and whatnot, but it's primarily just three of us, me, George, and Danny. And we're all chatting and chatting, and pretty soon it's just a two-person conversation. Danny checks out. And so George and I look at him, and this is the first time I ever really noticed it. when you could, and this is a couple, 2 years ago, where you start one video, and then Facebook has a thing where you can go right to the next one.
Oh, yeah.
And he got sucked in. The world is, there's nothing else in the world but just stupid video after video, and it's like crack. It's people tripping, falling over. It's people, you know, it's, and the worst thing for me on YouTube is these Russian car wrecks. I mean, there's so many, you just shake your head. You're just shocked that, I mean, you thought like, oh yeah, you know, Illinois drivers are bad or Florida drivers are bad, this and that, and so forth. No, doesn't matter. Russia, it is just, it's insane. Or any, I suppose, any Eastern Bloc European country is just insane. These wrecks you see, you're just like, oh my God, I can't, people. You just, they got to be, half of the people are drunk on vodka or something, because it's these wrecks you just shake, and you can see them coming a mile away.
Right.
You know, you see the truck starting to weave, and it's crossing the center line, and the guy who has the camera, because he knows there's people that, you know, there's insurance scams, and that's why everybody in Russia has a camera on their dash. You know, you think they'd be a little, you know, like a little proactive. No, here he comes. It's like, dude, you better pull over. Crash, you know, and the camera goes flying, and you hear him cussing in Russian and all of this. Anyway, so, yeah, and poor Danny sitting there. He just gets sucked in. It's just video after video. And then it's 15, 20 minutes later, we're like, hey, come on. And, oh, he's kind of embarrassed. And it is. And that's what happened to me today. I'm just doing some prep work, posting some stuff on the station sites and whatnot, and it's, I look up, it's after 11 o'clock. I'm like, what the heck? I just went into a time warp. It's like, boom, it's half an hour. Just like fast forward.
Well, I appreciate you letting me know, because now the next time we go to a barbecue and we're getting down to like the last steak on the dish, I'm just going to hand you an iPad and start playing Russian crash videos so you forget and don't even go for the last steak, then I can take
you,
it.
It's gone. It's over.
Nice. Good to
Especially
know.
Especially when you're entertaining maybe relatives and from out of town, just stick an iPad in front of them of, you know, Russian accidents, and they'll be shocked and they'll be sucked in.
I can go take a nap while they watch that. it happens to me a lot, too. I'm not big on the Russian accidents, but I watch old NASCAR footage and races and stuff like that. And
I've talked about that too on YouTube. It's YouTube has just become, I mean, before it was a lot of stupid stuff, and it's amazing how social media and that changes and evolves, because it, especially like you look at Twitter and Facebook was for the kids.
Right.
All the kids were hip kids. And I remember I was working at the mile. One of the interns told me about Facebook. And she was working on it. And like, oh, cool. And then at that time, you had to be in a college at that time. And it's like, oh, okay. And then like 6 months later, then they opened it up to everybody.
Right.
But that was 12 years ago, probably. And it was just all kids. Now, I would say primarily people over 35.
Yeah.
Because it's evolved now, because all the kids and everybody else doing Snapchat and the other stuff, that's now kind of filled that void. And Facebook is a great way for people our age to just stay up on what's happening with our friends and that.
My problem is now I'm turning into a video snob. Like when I watch a lot of music stuff on YouTube as well. So I'll go back and watch old, you know, heavy metal concerts from the 80s
That's
and
shocking.
Early
I'm
90s
really surprised
and stuff.
At that.
And if the quality, like the video quality is so bad,
oh, yeah,
the sound quality is so bad. And half the time I'll get halfway through and just, I can't suffer through this anymore.
Right. You get spoiled.
Yeah, you do get spoiled. It's great to see the old bands back in their heyday and stuff, but sometimes it's a little rough.
What's really interesting, though, is when you come across something you may have not seen before, like on YouTube, such as an old race or something, which was taped on a Betamax machine.
Mm-hmm.
Beta was first, and I have a friend of mine who got his first Betamax machine in like the end of 76.
Okay.
When he was in his 20s. And he's, you know, he started to tape shows, races. That's what the primary reason why he got it. And the quality, even for then, is really good, as opposed to the VHS stuff that came in like maybe 5 years later.
VHS was junk.
But the situation was, it was the length of the tape.
Right.
Betamax kind of put themselves in a corner with the 2 hour tape.
Right.
If that thing would have been a 3 hour tape, nobody would have heard about VHS.
Right.
And it, but the quality, and you can tell in any sport, because there any person, there was these video geeks back in the day that were doing this stuff. And there's some NFL films, college football, and you can tell the difference between beta and VHS by the quality of the recording. And some of them is really, really good. I'm really surprised at some of them. But there's a lot of neat stuff on YouTube now. If you're into stuff, and people are putting stuff on every single day, and it's like, wow, I forgot about this or that. And it's addicting. Next thing you know, it's too. I mean, I've done that, and especially with the TVs now, with smart TVs, it's a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
With the first smart TVs, you had to do this. You had to switch some cords. You had to switch. You know, you had to do all this stuff. Now on my new smart TV, it's one button.
Right.
One button push, boop, YouTube, or I can go to Amazon or Netflix, wherever you want. It's a one touch thing. And that's it's amazing how much easier and how much more you're inclined to jump to that format.
It's funny how far the technology is coming, like you said, with smart TVs, stuff like that. It's all one button now. And then on the other hand, we're going back, because I think this was the first year, I think last year was the first year that vinyl records sold more than CDs.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the huge movement bringing back vinyl records, because the original sound quality, everything, it sounds fantastic, and all that. So we're making huge advances and moving so far ahead and making everything so much easier on one side. And then on the other hand, records and stuff like that is all coming back as well. So it's very interesting how that all works out. Betamax, like you said, the quality is just night and day over
for
VHS.
That time, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you certainly see that. And it especially if you're an NASCAR fan or IndyCar fan or whatever motorsports, there is so much of it on YouTube. It's surprising. And it's a lot of fun to look back on, YouTube. And YouTube was just people putting up their own videos, and obviously it still is.
Mm-hmm.
And but therefore historic stuff, it's really, really gone. And they got like a lot of television, old oddball television shows on there too, like the old In Search Of, remember that, with Spock, Leonard Nimoy.
And
I remember as a little kid, and they always, is Bigfoot really out there? And it's just like the shows today, In Search Of Bigfoot. And that's what I don't understand about these reality shows that look for stuff that that's fake. People get sucked into and they never find it.
Right.
Like that. Well, what's the show with the guy looking for treasure on the island? They've been searching for this stuff for 3 years. They still haven't found it, and people are still sucked into it. Are really people that gullible?
I guess. I'll tell you, ever since Geraldo was in Capone's vault,
yes,
I will never watch that garbage ever again. So that got, I was sucked into that. They found absolute squat. I was done with that.
There's the people looking for the Bigfoot, searching for Bigfoot. No big. Now, when I was a kid, there wasn't all the cameras and stuff that there was now. And In Search Of came out, they had the same. So when you're a dumb little 12-year-old kid, you think, well, maybe there could be a Bigfoot. I don't know. As a 50-year-old guy, I know there's no Bigfoot. Because
right.
If there was, we would have seen him by now.
Well, just like there's no Loch Ness Monster.
Right. But there's these people out there, hook, line, and sinker, that, watching it. We're going to spend 40 hours, eight television shows or whatever, watching as they look for this Bigfoot or whatever they're searching for, the stupid treasure on this island that they never find. And
but the crazy thing is that it wouldn't be on if there wasn't people
watching.
Well,
it's the venture. I understand why. It's the adventure. It's how they get there. Just like the one with the gold, where they're looking for gold in Alaska, and then they sent them to the Amazon. I understand that. you know, it's the interesting side stories. It's just like all the other ones, like Survivor and all these other reality shows, which
I guess
some are a lot more scripted than people think, but
I'll be watching old NASCAR races, or I'll watch the
World
Dart Championship instead of watching that junk.
Yeah, I would much rather, you know, watch the 1976 Darlington 500 than you know, some guy looking for some treasure that isn't there. So, well, we got a full show today, and for NASCAR fans, and Jeff and I, it's one of our favorite tracks, of course. It is
Richmond.
Love it, love it. And we got Martin Truex on the pole there. We'll talk more about Richmond and the race that happened last night, the Xfinity race. An Xfinity race as it should be, and we'll expand on that in a moment. And then also in the second half hour, we'll be talking IndyCar. The IndyCars are down in Bama, and I bet there are still people going, Alabama, there's where, Talladega? Where are they? No, at Birmingham. It's a great track, and surprisingly, when you look at it at paper, you go, why the heck are they running there? But surprisingly, for some reason, nobody can explain why, but the IndyCars put on a pretty good show at Birmingham, and hopefully that will happen again this year. And then in the second hour, we'll have Eddie Lapine on from RacingNation.com. We'll talk about his trip to Long Beach and all the racing that was happening and all the social stuff and parties and whatnot that happens around Long Beach. We'll talk to him about that and also talk a little bit more IndyCar. And then, of course, what's the Final Inspection Show without Dennis Michelson and Lori Monroe? And we have some interesting subjects that we'll expand on coming up here with them in the second half hour from Race Talk Radio. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. And Jeff, the NFL schedule makers made their schedules official the other night. And, of course, that's always a big thing, especially at cities or fan bases like the Packers, Steelers, Cowboys, whatnot. And, of course, our friends down south in Indianapolis, the Colts released their schedule.
Yeah, they're not happy.
And it's interesting because, well, for those who may not, you know, stay, you know, remember, memorize the NASCAR schedule, but the Brickyard 400 has been moved. It is now the kickoff for the playoffs in the NASCAR series on September, I believe it's September 9th, which is a Sunday. And guess what?
The Colts are at home that day.
Oh!
Oops. Oops.
And this is, you know, this is one of those things where the NFL doesn't have to, but sometimes I don't, and I, you know, they're the, you know, 800-pound gorilla in the sports world. And, you know, we would have this situation at the Milwaukee Mile where we would try, if possible, talk to the Brewers, maybe have the Brewers out of town. How much of a difference that made was always, you know, eh. Because I know in the past, in the 60s, it was kind of when the Braves were in town, the old regime at the Mile, the Marchese's, Wisconsin Auto Racing, it was always a kind of a feather in their cap when they would always try and outdraw the Braves back in the 50s and 60s at the Milwaukee Mile,
mm-hmm.
which at that time a good crowd at the Milwaukee Mile would have been somewhere between, you know, 22 and 30,000. And at that time, County Stadium was not as big as it was, you know, when they tore it down. That left field section had not been added. And I don't know if they had, for a few years, they didn't have the bleachers there either. And then they, you know, as they went on, they kept on adding
right.
Seating and whatnot. But so it was always, you know, for back then it was kind of a challenge for the Milwaukee Mile. And then in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, we tried to work out, kind of find a nice, you know, you guys are out of town, good, we'll have a race. And we find this with the Colts, and we did, and Chicagoland had did it with the Bears.
Right.
And they had, so basically they flip-flopped the tracks. Chicagoland would always was hoping that the Bears would not be in town, and a few times they had some conflicts. And so, yeah.
I think it makes a difference. And what bothers me about that is that, you know, a couple years back when all the talk was about the NFL expanding to 18 regular season games instead of 16, NASCAR moved back the Daytona 500 by a week because they didn't want to conflict with, you know, the NFL schedule at all.
Right.
So if the NFL schedule extended their regular season, NASCAR didn't want to have the Daytona 500 go up against the NFL. So they moved the Daytona 500, the biggest race of the year, the Great American Race, back to try, you know, to avoid a conflict with the NFL. Obviously, that those niceties aren't reciprocated the other way around. The NFL just doesn't care.
Yeah, they don't. And it'll be interesting to see how much of a difference that makes. Because you're thinking more playoff. I mean, IMS, Indianapolis, is thinking maybe this is a better. There's certain things are better. It's supposed should. Conventional wisdom says it's going to be cooler. It won't be as hot sitting on those aluminum bleachers. And number two, the race should mean a little more because it's a playoff atmosphere, air quotes used there. So it'll be interesting to see how much, because a lot of the fans that come into the Brickyard is from out of town.
Right.
So,
but still, you know, you're missing out on 65,000 local or semi-local fans.
And then there's
fans.
The hotels, too.
Of course. Of course.
So,
granted, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they draw
better. Indianapolis is a lot of hotels, and they got the space. But what happens is everybody jacks up their prices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll be gouging. But we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't affect the crowd. Hopefully it doesn't affect, you know, excitement going into the race, because it is the start of the NASCAR playoffs.
Moving, continuing on in the world of NASCAR, Richmond this week, and Eric Martin Truex Jr., number 78, won the pole. Hey, yeah. This guy only wins at 1.5-mile tracks, I thought.
Yeah, well, you know, he's got the pole. His career results at Richmond aren't all that notable.
Yeah, I got an interesting quote. He goes, out of all the short tracks, this is the one I feel like we should have had the most success at and should have won by now.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that transpires tonight at Richmond. I mean, you can't call him. I mean, yes, he's the best at 1.5 tracks. He is the champion, though. A champion driver is one that overcomes all that.
Right.
When Alan Kulwicki won in 92, Alan was the short track guy. He really ran well at North Wilkesboro, Martinsville, Bristol, Richmond, and that. He always had some issues on the super speedways. That was kind of his Achilles heel and the road races. By the time 92 comes around, his program had progressed where he wasn't a liability at the short tracks. Obviously, a lot of times he was in contention for the win, but he'd be right up there in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing the top five, which in that time, at that time, the way the points was very important. Same thing with the road courses. He had actually become really comfortable on the road courses. And so, and Martin Truex is probably, and that 78 team as itself has progressed to the point where they're just not a one-trick pony anymore. They're at the point now, because they're the champion, they can win anywhere.
Of course. You can't count Martin Truex out at any race on the schedule at all. You know, if Truex wins at Sonoma, is anybody going to be surprised? No. If he wins at Talladega, is anybody going to be surprised? It doesn't matter. He's in contention no matter where he goes, and he's earned that right, and he's proven that he can race on any track. We'll see. But I'll tell you this, and I forgot who mentioned it last week, but somebody said that a couple of these 1.5-mile tracks should try to shrink them down to 3/4 mile like Richmond, and, you know, where they wouldn't have to redesign the seating, you know, they could kind of try to work it out.
Well, Benny Parsons was a big proponent of knocking down the banks.
Yeah.
You know, and was really kind of surprised when they did it, when Phoenix actually put in banking at their track. You know, in the past, you know, it has to be, you have to have the radius right, which was an issue with New Hampshire for many years. It was like the Milwaukee Mile, but it was a much tighter access on it, a little more of a paperclip type
mm-hmm.
than Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a little opened up, so you could kind of boogie the car around a lot. And it's knocked down the banks. Would that help? Time would tell. But I mean, you know, I'm, you know, as a kid growing up, I loved the banks. I loved the car. You know, the look of the cars at Daytona and Talladega was awesome when I was a kid. But now I kind of understand what Benny was saying. You know, like, yeah, knock the banks down and you'll see who, you know, who the real drivers are.
Yeah, as long as there's multi-grooves, you know.
Well, that, yes,
because
true.
You've got Martinsville where, you know, it's basically flat all the way around, and still the low sides the side to be on. And, mm-hmm. You know, if you can figure out a track that's basically flat that has multiple grooves that people can run and run fast, then it'll get interesting.
Here's a bit of trivia. A lot of people don't know about this.
How many lifelines do I get?
Well, you know, in the 60s and even into the early 70s, there was a big push politically to move the state fair. They were trying to move the state fair to Madison.
Okay.
Because I think Wisconsin is the only one whose state fair is not in the state capital. Indiana State Fair is in Indianapolis. Illinois State Fair is in Springfield.
Never been either.
A lot of people don't notice that. They go, oh, yeah, why isn't the state fair in Madison? But it was because it was the big city, and it was close to, I guess it had a port. But anyways, there was some talk, two things. One was if they would move the state fair, the possibility of taking some of that land, expanding the Milwaukee Mile into a 1.5-mile track, it would be more like Trenton, though, where the talk was they were going to expand it to the north.
Okay.
So, and they would bring in, and then they would, and then sublet, probably get rid of the west parcel along 84th Street. They would have sold that, maybe cut that in half, but that would have been a privately held track. Boy, things would have changed. Or the other one was I got to remember his name here in just a second. He was a drag racer. But they were going to have a track in Salem. John Cation and his group had explored about having a truck in Salem, Wisconsin, which is right on the border of the Illinois border in Kenosha County, in the western part of Kenosha County. And then in the early 90s, that went away. And then the drag racer, I can't think of his name, but I'll think of it later. He was interested and actually had talked to some people. And then eventually that all died when Chicagoland came in. But it's interesting. Martin Truex on the pole, his third pole of the year. He also had held the pole at Phoenix and Auto Club Speedway. Of course, the other pole winners this season was, of course, Alex Bowman in the Daytona 500. Kyle Busch has two poles at Atlanta and then last week at Bristol. So Truex leads the list so far, and we had Ryan Blaney at Vegas and Kurt Busch at Texas. Let's take a quick break. It's time now for a sports flash here in just a moment, and we'll where are we? Oh yeah, that's right. It's the weekend.
Yeah.
Everybody's working for the weekend except for Steve. Let's take a break now. It is time for the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by Great Lakes Dragway, which is now open. Make sure to check out all the details at greatlakesdragway.com. And David Hobbs Honda. Check out David Hobbs Honda for all their latest in new and used cars. We'll be right back. Final Inspection Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. Make sure to check out greatlakesdragway.com. They are open. They are running cars. Get out there. Take a look around. Enjoy the spring weather as it continues to get warm. I also like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Road. Make sure to check out them, all their new and used cars. Bristol last week.
Oh, yeah. 2 days of Bristol.
Did you like the 48 hours of Bristol? What to see? Now, Friday, I guess it was almost pushing 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, it started to cool off, and they had some rain and whatnot. And then Sunday, it got wiped out, and it got even colder with rain. They run the race on Monday in the 30 degrees, mid-30s.
Yeah.
And the race finishes, and it starts to snow.
Yeah, it was great. It was great, and I loved it. I think a lot of the reason for my enjoyment is that it was 72 and roofed in my living room, where I had the feet up on Monday afternoon watching a fantastic finish to the race. It was
are the true fans. Those fans that showed up, and I want to say a track did that a couple years ago where they had a rain out or something. The weather was miserable. I don't know. It could have been Martinsville. Who knows? Richmond, Bristol.
Right. One of them.
And they gave them anybody who came got some type of trinket or something. I thought it was kind of cool for them to show up and make that commitment. That's impressive.
It is impressive. And all the people that showed up, and there weren't many, I thought it was a fantastic idea that, they closed the schools in the couple counties around Bristol. And so the racetrack said, any kids, if you go to schools in these two counties, come and you get in for free. Fantastic idea to try to fill the stands, because they knew that on a Monday the crowd was going to be almost
non-existent. So why were the schools closed?
I think it was either due to the weather or it was due to the race.
So the kids can't go to school, but they can go to the race.
Of course. Well, what's more important, Steve? Come on. But it was a fantastic race. The action on the track, there was a lot of, the quote-unquote chrome horn getting laid down.
And Lane, it was the two Kyles that had the chrome horns out, didn't they?
Oh, God, it was good, man. That was a heck of a battle. And it was exciting. It was about time after a couple of ho-hum, races lately. It was great that the excitement returned. It was also fantastic that, we talked after the Martinsville race got run on Monday about how usually when the race gets run on Monday, it's boring because the drivers just want to get it done and get out of town. The race was thoroughly enjoyable. All day Monday, these guys were going pedal to the metal. There was no just making laps and putting down laps and, trying to make sure you finish in the top 10. These guys were hauling the mail. It was great. I loved it.
And I guess it shouldn't be a surprise, but the way he's been running so far this year, it was with the 48 in third place.
Yeah. Yeah, finally, that's, I think, his first top five finish of the season. And, everybody wants to put the fork in Jimmy Johnson, and I'm the one to keep saying, especially with the rules now, all it takes is one win. And if you're betting against Jimmy, call me up and I will take that bet, because between now and between the Brickyard 400, he's going to get one win and get into these playoffs.
Why not? I mean, yeah, I would bet for Jimmy than against him. Because if you look at what's behind him,
yeah,
the resources that he has, and of course it's Jimmy. I guess you could say Chevrolet is having a down year, but the jury's still out. It's still way too early, because we saw
Larson's
this with Toyota
well.
A couple of years ago. Toyota was dominating the first half of the season. Who won the championship?
Jimmy.
Yep. So I mean, it's a lot of racing to go yet. But I think that's what they're looking for is it's the old adage, you got to get a couple top fives before you get that first win.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we certainly saw that with Jimmy Johnson. Good, strong run by Ricky Stenhouse, too, who always seems like he runs well at Bristol.
He does run well at Bristol. It was, I think he led some laps, didn't he?
I believe he did.
Eric Jones led a bunch of laps. that was good to see.
Erik Jones had a very strong, and we're starting to see why the switch was made. You know, of course, us Wisconsin fans necessarily don't agree with it, but if you're looking at driver salaries and results, I mean, I hate to say it, but it is the ugly, you know, situation that's happening in racing right now.
The kid can drive.
Yeah, the kid can drive, but you need to make cuts where you can because the sponsorship money isn't there anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, like you said, with the salary dump that, he's probably making, what, a quarter of what Matt Kenseth made? But he can wheel that race car. And it's nice that, this is one of the first Bristol. This is one of the first times after the race that we're not really harping on pit guns. We're actually talking about the racing on the track.
Well, there were some rumblings yet again.
Well, of course
Denny
there were.
Hamlin was yipping about it. But correction, Ricky Stenhouse did not lead a lap.
All right.
Surprising. Yeah, I thought he led a lap too.
Yeah.
But he was running. I mean, he was running strong most of the race. A couple other notable finishes. Eric Amarola, the 10 car. Suddenly with a new driver is getting top 10 finishes.
That's shocking. He deserved a lot better finish than what he had. He had a better race card than how he finished. It is good to see him. it's good to see him race well. I was skeptical being a Harvick and Stewart Haas fan.
And your guy who was running well until he had some issues with Darrell Wallace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bubba was running strong.
And did you see the video that he posted after the race where, yes, it was great to see the STP, up front and all this. We had a great car, but you could tell he was angry about his finish,
right,
and how his day ended. And it was true emotion. It was great. It's fantastic. That video alone is one of the reasons why he is going to lead NASCAR to the next level. He's going to help stop the bleeding between the low attendance, the low ratings, and he is going to kickstart the next generation and rise back up of NASCAR.
And he led a 5 laps in the race. It's good to see the 43 up front again.
Yeah, it
especially
was.
Especially with those classic iconic colors.
It was great. It was fantastic.
I love the Petty Blue and the Daigle Orange.
I do too. I do too.
There's Marsha Pruitt also. You'll post a photo. This photo makes me happy. Seeing those colors always makes me happy.
Agree.
And Ford is switching cars. We're going all pony cars, aren't we?
We sure are. Mustang.
Going to the Mustang. Now, I posted a photo on the final inspection page on the Facebook page if you want to go there. It's if you search TFI for the final inspection and then the final inspection page, there is a... In the Xfinity race yesterday, it was a Toyota Camry pace car. And Michael Waltrip, who will trip over himself, praising everything NASCAR to a fault.
Yep.
I mean, I understand you're getting paid, but he kind of overdoes it. I mean, just shut up, Michael. Just, I just love the Camry. It's so racy. Oh, just look what NASCAR did to it. Oh, it's just, just shut up.
He's just a shill.
Oh,
he's a
God.
NASCAR shill. And he's so see-through. I loved when he did like the grid walk and stuff in the pre-race shows back in the day. That was cool because that was him in his element. He was able to sit there, go off the cuff. He's a funny guy. He's a nice guy, entertaining.
But he tries too hard sometimes.
I know.
But when get on his, put the knee pads on.
Oh, I know.
Take the knee pads off, Michael. Come on. And there's a shot of the Camry, and it's the street Camry, and then there's a Camry stock car behind it. Did you see that photo?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. It's ridiculous. such as NASCAR.
Mustangs and Camaros should not be the size of an SUV. I understand now there goes Steve again. We're gonna go in the Wayback Machine again because back in the day stock cars were late model cars. Where did the term late model came from? The years it was made. So then everybody remembers the Dodge Charger, the petty Dodge Charger. Remember that? The iconic Charger that Dodge came out in 1971 It ran through 1974. Then came the Chrysler Cordoba. Fine Corinthian leather. And the sister car to that, a lot of people forget, was the Dodge Charger. So you had the Chrysler Cordoba and the Dodge Charger, and so it would they looked the same. So if you look at, if you remember the Chrysler Cordoba, which a lot of our listeners will remember, the Dodge Charger just looked like the same because that's what automakers did. American Auto had so much of the market share, they could duplicate multiple models of the same car.
Yeah, that's what GM used. Coming yeah. out with the same car under three different brand names.
The my favorite was the, in the mid-70s, the Chevy Nova.
Yep, I had
Pontiac
one.
Ventura, the Oldsmobile Omega, and the Buick Apollo.
Yeah, all
four
the same.
Four of the same car.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so the 75... the Dodge Charger came out, and little Stevie was crying because it was so ugly. And all the people were saying, hey, we can't run this thing. This thing is an aerodynamic brick. So, but the good news was back then, NASCAR, you could run it for 3 years. So Petty ran the car in 75, 76, and 77. At the end of the 77 season, the Dodge Charger, that iconic Charger, was going away. And I remember one of the last races was Neil Bonnet winning at the old Ontario Speedway, which for some reason was on live, ABC Sports. I remember my dad and I watching it, and it was really sad because that was going to be one of the last races of that car. Not the last race, but one of them. Anyways, so it went away, and everybody was switching to Monte Carlos and that. And then by 1978, Detroit had downsized the cars. If you remember the 78 Pontiac Grand Prix, that big thing, the 78 Grand Prix was much smaller, and all the cars started to go smaller, and the wheelbase went down. NASCAR made a rule shrinking the wheelbase. And there's all sorts of people. So if you look at the cars in 1979 or was it 80? 1980, I think they made the wheel. No, I'm sorry. 81 was the wheelbase rule, I think. And that's when all the cars got smaller, but they were because that's what the cars were. And I wonder if NASCAR could, you know, I mean, they're not going to do it because of the price. But in hindsight, should they, when they went to this new car, should they have made it a little bit smaller?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they
Boy,
should.
That's a long way around the block for a one-word answer, but I like it. Good, he agrees with me.
Yes, very smart, well, fantastically explained. Answer is yes.
Okay. So next year we're going to have, just because I'm an automotive geek, we're going to have really big Camaros and Mustangs and Camrys.
Yep.
So,
yeah, well, you know.
When is Toyota going to get their hot rod out? They call the Camry their hot rod, but they have a sport model of the Camry. But
yeah, I'm waiting for them to come out with a souped-up Toyota Odyssey minivan.
There you go. Is it time for a break?
It sure is.
Let's take a break. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway. They are open. Make sure to check out greatlakesdragway.com for all the details. And David Hobbs Honda in Glendale.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway. And, of course, David Hobbs Honda. We always thank them for their support. Last night, of course, we got the night racing. Love the night racing.
I do, too.
Don't want it every weekend, but, like, this weekend it was a lot of fun. A lot of stuff going on last night. We had the Xfinity race on. We had the Brewer game on. And then we had the Bucks game. Bucks, that was really good scheduling. I liked the later Bucks.
Yep.
Because by that time, the Brewer game was pretty much in hand. They won. Was it 8-0?
8-0, yeah.
And so I was watching the Brewer game, and then I kind of transitioned to the Bucks game, and then we had the Xfinity series, and it was very nice. Just kind of float between the three there for a while.
Yeah, that was a good Friday night, man. It was, you know, my remote got a workout, and that was the only thing that did.
You don't have the two TVs set up like old Stevie over here, do you?
No, I'm not making the big bucks like you, Z-Man.
Oh, come on now.
You know, when you're just a piddly little producer over here, you don't get paid enough to get two TVs.
A pretty cool race. And it's the Xfinity race that the final, when it was even Sparky's final inspection, has been begging for a while. And we're starting to see that now with it's the regulars.
Yeah,
it's kind of a more Xfinity start, finishing second with Sadler, Matt Tiff, Austin Cindric, Cole Custer, Ryan Truex, Jeremy Clements, Ryan Reed, and Brandon Jones. No Cup guys.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice. It is nice. They can now officially go back to the names are made here slogan if they want to. It was fantastic.
It was a good battle for the lead the last 10 laps. However, you were thinking that Chrome Horner was going to come out, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I was kind of hoping.
I really
was
kind of, yeah. But Gregson just could not get up. It was almost like Bell was almost kind of playing with him a little bit. And, of course, they are Joe Gibbs teammates. Now, let's be honest. 20 and the 18, they're the cats meowing that series. So they're running very good cars. But still impressive with Noah Gregson. I admit it. I will state it right now. I am a big Christopher Bell fan. Been following him through the USAC series and that. The kid, he looks like he's 12 years old, but the kid is a driver. And I think it'll be interesting to see just what Joe Gibbs does with him. Yeah. Where is he going to end up? Because he is pretty much, he's ready for Cup.
His arrow is pointing so far straight up.
So where are you going to put him? Or do you do a thing where, like they did with Eric Jones last year?
That's what I think is going to end up happening with Bell. And
but you know the sad thing is?
What?
It all comes down to sponsorship, doesn't it?
Oh, I know. But I think, you know, hopefully Bell won't have a problem. I think Bell, you know, him and William Byron, you know, it's amazing having guys basically in back-to-back seasons that just have so much talent and are so fast that can sit there and, you know, Christopher Bell, if he was in Cup Series this year, you know, I think he would be competing top 15 week in, week out.
I've been on this for a couple of years because I think it's somebody is whoever Mark can get this money is brilliant, and I would hire him in a flash. Explain the dash for cash.
Well, I love it that they're doing it, and this is the second year that they're doing it all short tracks. So I think it's fantastic.
How can I say this without find a guy on the street, are you a race fan or a NASCAR fan? Does he know what the Dash for Cash is?
No. No.
It's been around for 7-8 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
And they keep selling this thing, but it hasn't really gained traction.
No.
I mean, it's good for the sport. I'm not criticizing that they're doing it. I'm just surprised that it's lived as long as it lived, because it just doesn't seem to be. I mean, the Winston Million, that was huge.
Of course.
When they did that. Now, obviously, it's a different time. NASCAR was really growing, and $1 million for, you know, at a race was a big thing back then. But I'm really surprised that year after year they've been able to continue this, which is good for the series. I'm not saying that. I'm just surprised that they're able to sell this thing.
They need to explain it clearly and better and make sure that everybody understands, A, how the drivers are chosen, B, why it's there, you know, but it's fantastic for those drivers and those teams.
I'm not Mr. NASCAR. I'm not like Nate Ryan or some of these guys. I don't follow the series all the time. But Spencer Gallagher was in it.
Yeah. Who?
Yeah. Well, I know Spencer Gallagher.
He came up through the yard, but
I was surprised that he was in it. And it's like, you got to do your homework to find out why. And I understand why now, but I had to look it up. And it's because of the finishing and whatnot, the previous race.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, okay, Elliott Sadler, I can see.
Of course, he
actually won it by finishing third.
Right.
But it's interesting, the four guys that were in it, the results were third, 14th, 17th, and 29th.
Yeah. Oh, I know. One guy that wasn't in it, and I'll tell you another thing I liked about the Xfinity race last night, Kaz Grala, he did not make the Dash for Cash. He finished 30th last night. Austin Cindric, I think he was fifth.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I'll just throw that out there.
Austin Cindric, your kid can drive, and I do like that he's driven a lot of different cars, and he's been driving a lot. He's been filling up his schedule, which I've been a big proponent for these young drivers. I don't care where you're at, but you should be driving whatever you can all the time.
If you're a true race car driver, absolutely, he's doing it the right way. He'll take a seat in any kind of car you want to throw him in, and he performs.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of guys, you know, especially some notable drivers on the IndyCar side who haven't done that, and I think it's hurt their career in some ways. But
I agree.
It's time now for a break. And a sports flash. With the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, you're listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Coming up after the sports flash, it will be Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. We're going to talk some IndyCar coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, trucks, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, it's Final Inspection on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Here's Steve Zocchi.
Inspection Show brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and David Hobbs Honda. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com, it is Eddie Lapine. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Jeff. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Can't complain. It's we finally got above the Mendoza line here and in Wisconsin. It's warming up finally.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's kind of warm here today. It's,
I believe it.
80, I think.
80?
I had to wear a sweatshirt
okay.
This morning when I walked the dogs. You know, it's nice being home. How's that?
Yeah. How was the weather in Long Beach? I heard it was magnificent.
It's always good, but this was extremely well this year. It was awesome.
And of course, Alexander Rossi winning the Long Beach Grand Prix over Will Power and Ed Jones. In the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach at Long Beach. And it was the largest crowd in probably 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're reporting. And I'll tell you, it was one of the biggest crowds I've seen just going there for the last 10 years. It was great to see. But as Long Beach, as you well know, yourself going there, Steve, they have something for everybody.
Well, it's an event.
Can't imagine.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And so with Long Beach, it's a street course, and it's a pretty nice layout and whatnot. And there's events in the convention center. There's a lot of stuff for fans to do. What did you notice an increase in walking like that midway alongside the track there, or where did you kind of notice the increase of people at the track?
I think I noticed it everywhere because they have a lot of interaction games and, you know, 5-hour energy and, you know, Cadillac, all the manufacturers have displays and they're giving away t-shirts and there's just a lot of fans there experiencing, that venue and all the things that go along with it.
Well, one nice thing about the track too, and with road courses and that, it being a street course, you know, people are always moving and there's bleachers all over the place and there's always seems to be some type of on-track action, whether it's practice or qualifying or the race itself. and the multiple series they had there. Of course, they had IndyCar racing there on Sunday. They had IMSA sports cars there the previous day on Saturday, but also some of the other events that were there. Tell us about that.
Well, they had Pirelli Challenge was there, and the Robbie Gordon's off-road truck series.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining. Actually,
and I think it was
Ari
Matthew
Leyendyke.
Yes, Junior the Bachelor was running there, and of course the race was won by Matthew Brabham, one of my favorite young stars who needs to be in a series full time.
Well, and as you were talking about, drivers need to get out of the box and drive different things, and that's the kind of series that it's allowing, and it's giving them at least the opportunity to be in a seat at some event, and what better event to be at is Long Beach.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, and this is where YouTube is a big help too, go to Stadium Super Trucks. Just put that in your search engine. And they've raced. In fact, they were earlier in the year, they were in Australia at one of the Australian supercar events. But they've also raced, and they're coming to Road America in late June. So I'm excited to see them. But it's exciting to watch because they race on a road course. And they put ramps in, and these cars, these trucks, I should say, are flying through the air, and it is absolutely entertaining. These huge trucks racing on a road course, it is just visually and especially in person, Eddie, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, totally. And it like you said, it gives everybody something to watch. I mean, you know, you see the Porsches on the track, the Indy cars, all the major series are at that event. And then you have these off-road trucks, and people are just amazed when they see them jumping ramps through the streets of Long Beach.
And a tough day last Sunday for Simon Pagenaud, who got drop-kicked by Graham Rahal. And it's, for some reason, There's a small minority of people that just hate Graham Rahal, and those people certainly were out on social media during the race saying, "Oh, that Graham Rahal," and you know he apologized for it. But what's Eddie Lapine's version of that with Graham Rahal and Simon Pagenaud on
first
lap?
It depends on. I mean, if you're Simon Pagenaud, you're mad and. You know, it's the first turn, the first lap, and, you know, Graham Rahal went a little too late and punted him, basically. I'd be totally upset if I was Simon. You know, it's not a way to end the race in the first turn like that.
Right.
And then Graham went on to have a pretty decent run. And, you know, I mean, everybody's going to have an opinion about it, especially social media, but, I mean, it was wrong, you know, and he, I don't believe he got a penalty for it too. On top of it,
I'm trying to remember now if he did get a drive through. No, I think he did get a drive through penalty, but
did he get one?
Yeah, I think he did, but I can see both sides. I mean, yeah, I don't think he did it on purpose, but I mean, it's just one of those things. The thing is. Pagenaud's going to do it to somebody else, probably somewhere along later in his career. So,
wow, I mean, it happens to everyone, and you know, I mean, it's a racing incident when it's the last lap. When it's the first lap, it's just brain fade and just being overzealous. And you know, I mean, it's just these guys are professionals. You know, Graham knows better, and you know, maybe Simon lifted a little early, but. You know, Graham went a little later, and the rest is history. And it just gives somebody lots of people to talk about on social media and voice their opinion about it.
Give me one thing from the weekend that you said, "Wow, I wasn't expecting that," or that I didn't think he or she was there, or something, celebrity, anything. What do you got?
Well, I mean, on the IndyCar race, I think totally. You know, I mean, Rossi. Could have basically won the first three races. I mean, he should have won Phoenix. He was the fastest car out there, and he's putting his mark on it right now. And Wickens, I thought he would run a little better there. But you know, I mean, I think you're going to see this weekend at Barber, it's a totally different place. It's been a lot of action already today in the last practice session with several of the newer drivers going off the track. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens this weekend. I think we could see another winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We'll talk a little bit more about Alabama in a moment. But tell us about George Fulmer. Is George Fulmer out there again?
Well, yeah, that was one big thing that I kind of did put on social media. Was George Fulmer and Parnelli Jones were there celebrating the historic Trans Am Series, had their cars there racing. And it was really unbelievable to be able to you don't get many opportunities to hang out with George Fulmer and Parnelli Jones. And they're a little frail, but they made it there. And they actually, Parnelli waved the green flag for the start of the race, which was pretty cool. And they were, you know, it was a different perspective for them, too, as well, seeing a lot of the cars they drove back in the day.
Yes.
And, you know, the story started to fly at Chip Ganassi's hospitality. It was... it was pretty cool. I think they could have made it a reality show. Definitely.
Yeah, George and Parnelli are certainly two iconic figures in auto racing, and whenever they're in an event, it kind of raises the status of any event they're at. And it was kind of cool seeing the Dan Gurney Formula 5000 car driven by Bobby Unser and James Hunt. And what was cool about that, but that was actually the first car to lap at the Long Beach Grand Prix back when it was a Formula 5000 event in 1975.
That was really special. I mean, we lost Dan earlier this year, and to be able to see that run. And I was at the Road Racers Drivers Club dinner last year with Dan and AJ for celebrating their 50th year of winning Le Mans. And, you know, I mean, these are special guys that made their mark, and not just a little mark, a huge mark in motorsports, and have made it what it is today. And to see these guys there and to see the cars, it was just like the Trans Am race. It was awesome. One quick funny story I can tell you, though, Steve.
Go ahead.
If you have a second.
Yeah. Sure.
Real quick. Okay, so I take... George wants to go watch the Trans Am from pit lane. So we go over there, and George is getting a little, you know, dehydrated. So I'm trying to find him a bottle of water. And I try to get into the hospitalities, and they won't let me in there. And I said, well, you know, I'm with George Fulmer. And they're like, George who? And I'm like, this guy is like a legend. So make a long story short, we walk over, and A.J. Foyt's crew is doing some engineering debriefing still from the practice. And I said, could I get a water for George Fulmer? And they were like, oh, sure, sure. You know, so I took the water over there, and I said to George, I said, hey, I got a bottle of water from A.J. Foyt's guys. They gave it to him. And George goes, oh, don't tell A.J. He'll probably charge me for it. So, I mean, they still, you know.
They still love to rib each other, don't they?
Each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they love to hate each other. But, you know, and AJ was definitely stung by bees. I was a witness that he couldn't make it to Sebring for the Hall of Fame. He showed me his battle scars from fighting off the bees.
Wow.
So, I'll tell you, 300 bees. And he said he's going to get back at him again. So he's still
nothing to fool around with.
Oh, he's 2-0 against him already. He might as well go for the trifecta.
It's time for a break, Eddie. Can you stick around for one more segment with us?
Sure.
All right. We're talking to Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. When we come back, we'll talk the IndyCar Grand Prix of Alabama coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. The Final Inspection Show brought to you by legendarygreatlakesdragway.com. They are open today. Make sure to go on GreatLakesDragway.com. Check out all the latest in fun at Great Lakes Dragway.
And bring us food.
Yeah, bring us food. And also like to thank our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out a new Honda or a used one, too, at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue in Glendale, I should say. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com. Welcome back to the show, Eddie.
Hey, thanks, guys. I got two segments. Gee.
Yeah, I know.
Special for this week.
And, of course, coming up tomorrow, it is the IndyCar Grand Prix of Alabama. And, you know, Birmingham is when they first announced they were going to go there, everybody's going, oh, they're going to be awful there. But they certainly have put on a good show in the last couple of races, haven't they?
Oh, definitely. And I think it's going to be a good show. That track is a lot. I think it's tougher than Long Beach.
Oh, I think so, too. Yeah, I would agree.
And they're expecting rain, too, in the forecast, like 100% chance.
Really?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
That's what the latest I heard. So
interesting.
It's definitely going to mix it up. So I think, you know, we could maybe see a first-time winner tomorrow.
That might change up my prediction. Speaking of predictions, let's go to the world of NASCAR and talking Cup Series, of course. They're in Richmond this weekend, tonight, in fact. Eddie, what's your pick for Richmond?
Seeing I'm doing so well in the NASCAR world, I think I'm going to go with Kyle Larson. I think this is going to be his weekend.
I'd like to see that. How about you, the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski?
Well, if he can get over his pit gun issues, give me a little Denny Hamlin.
Yeah, he always runs well at Richmond. That's a good pick, too. I'd like to go Kyle Busch, but
three in a row.
I think I'm going to go with Martin Truex. He's just been running so strong, and I think this could be, you know, this could be his first win at Richmond. So I'll
Way
go
to step
Truex.
Out on a ledge, take the pole sitter.
Yeah, I know that. And then let's go talking the Bama Grand Prix. What says you, Eddie Lapine?
I'm going to say Mr. Wickens. I think he's going to break out and win his first race.
Okay.
All right. When I think Alabama, I think Pagenaud.
Okay. Simon Pagenaud. So it's supposed to rain during the race, right?
Yeah.
That's what the
okay.
prediction. Well,
so
who
that
knows with
rain,
the weather, man.
Rain, that is true. Well, then, what the heck? Since I took chalk in the NASCAR race, I'll go out on a limb for this one. Rain means chaos in the IndyCar series. I want a guy with a little bit of European racing experience. I'm going to go Jordan King.
All right.
At Carpenter Racing.
Now, there's the limb. There you go.
Well, I will tell you, Steve, he did crash in practice today. I don't know if you saw that. He crashed in the third practice.
What, did he wipe out? Is the car wiped out, or is he going to a backup
car? Well, they have not said yet, but it did go into the guardrail. So I'm sorry to spoil your.
It just means he got his bad luck out of the way early, Steve.
Yeah.
He's ready to dominate.
Exactly. Maybe you'll have a strong back.
Who's the best rain guy? Oh, then you know what? I'll go Rossi then. Okay, I'll go with Chalk. But he's got European experience. He loves the rain.
And we're back to Chalk.
So Chalk.
Well, we'll go King / Rossi.
All you talk to me.
Yeah, Steve will take the field. We each pick one guy. He gets the field.
Exactly.
Eddie, thank you as ever. We certainly appreciate you coming on the show. We will chat again. And coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, it is Dennis Michelson and Laurie Monroe from Race Talk Radio. They'll be talking about the weather and just kind of review the race from Bristol. And is Kyle Busch the best short track racer? They'll also talk about Herschel McGriff, who will be running at 90 years old.
That's awesome.
And then also giving their Richmond preview. So coming up next on the Final Inspection Show, it is Laurie and Dennis from Race Talk Radio. You've been listening to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection. 105.7 FM, The Fan, Dennis Michelson, Laurie Monroe. From RaceTalkRadio.com, that means it's time to go in-depth with your NASCAR talk. And Laurie Monroe, I am feeling very, very, very sorry for NASCAR and NASCAR brass today.
Why? Why are you feeling sorry for them?
They've had sort of one of those seasons where they've done a lot of things wrong. And the racing has been sort of average. The attendance has had issues. Television's had issues. All of these things have issues. Bristol Motor Speedway was supposed to help us forget about all this. And then NASCAR's dealing with rain. And it kind of ruins any positive momentum that they could have gotten out of this race.
Au contraire. I totally believe that this entire weekend at Bristol, the rain, everything going on, starting the race one day, finishing the next day, the fact that we actually had a really, really exciting race, the rain couldn't dampen that. Having it held over 2 days couldn't dampen that. I was so thrilled with what I saw at Bristol. You could have spread it out over 3 days with a plague of locusts and a monsoon, and I would have still come away absolutely thrilled. Now, of course, you're going to feel sorry for the people who actually were there, the people in the stands, the people who had to leave and couldn't come back. But my God, what an absolutely entertaining event that was. Come on, don't feel sorry for them.
Well, I'll explain it better maybe because I share that same feeling. Like the racing was not so good. Like it wasn't just back in the pack not so good either. It was typical short track racing where a guy got off to a 3 second lead. And then when he comes up upon the lap traffic, the big old, you know, rubber band tightens back up and you have a great race again. And everybody's in the fight and it's all exciting again. But here's where I feel sorry for NASCAR. Not for the great show that they put on. Not that the fact that they could even put on a show despite some of the most brutal weather that we've ever seen this time of the year for Bristol Motor Speedway. But I feel sorry for NASCAR because they put on one hell of a show. They gave us an entertaining race that I give an A- to if I had to pick a grade. And then all people are talking about is NASCAR shouldn't have tried to get that race in. Maybe NASCAR should have a flexibility to race on Saturday when they see a bad forecast. Maybe NASCAR should do this. Maybe NASCAR should do that. The weather forecasts were lousy. They did this and it hurt the fans. Would you just shut up already? NASCAR cannot control the weather. They can't control what happened. But with the air tightens, they were actually able to get racing in. Why not celebrate the good? Why do we always, 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 and I know I'm guilty of this too often, but why can't we occasionally just enjoy the show?
Because people love to complain. And by the way, that whole Air Titan deal, watching them on the track, how well they dry that track. I'm ordering one to dry my hair every night because it takes me, I don't know, 20 minutes to blow dry my hair. I need an Air Titan for hair drying. That is the slickest thing, and we've seen them for a few years, yeah, but I can't believe when you actually have to sit there and you're waiting for the race to start, what a fantastic job those things do. Whoever invented those, they need a trophy or something.
I'm thinking that the person that invented those, if he did an ancestry DNA test,
yes,
I'm wagering that the inventor of the Air Titan is somehow related to Smokey Yunick.
I know. Isn't that the truth? It is. Absolutely.
It's the most mesmerizing thing to watch. If you're in person watching this thing do its job, I've had the pleasure of standing like 5 feet away from them as they come rolling by you. It is the most phenomenal sound and phenomenal sheeting of water off of a racetrack that I've ever seen in my life. I cannot believe that you can have totally wet go to almost totally dry in two passes of that crazy thing.
Yeah, but you are right. Fans will just find something to complain about. I can't believe, again, how many people complained about the lack of people in the stands. And you know why there was no people in the stands. You know why. So come on, people, just enjoy it for the love of God. Just enjoy the race.
And here's the thing, as far as the lack of people at Bristol, they overbuilt
during the heydays of that place.
Yeah.
When
a lot of tracks did, yeah.
Night racing created a hype that just doesn't exist because we get too many night races. Back when it was only the one night race, then 158,000 people wanted to show up. Mm-hmm. And they had to buy tickets to every single race to get those night race tickets that they craved. Now that night racing is no longer an exciting thing on its own to get people out of their houses and off their couches to come out and see a NASCAR race, even if they fill the place halfway, that's 75,000 people. That's more people than go to the Super Bowl every year. So even if it's half full and looks horrible on TV, you still put the biggest crowd in there, and you're doing so in rural Tennessee.
Yeah.
So that's what I cannot stand when I hear these negative nabobs of negativism outdoing me.
It smells like a coffee blend.
It is. It is. It's now available in both Tassimo and Keurig.
That's awesome. I like it.
But getting back to the racing after our advertisement for www.podcoffee.com. When it gets back to the racing, Kyle Busch is an animal. That's what I came away from this with. That guy just refuses to lose when he has the car to win.
Oh, yeah, he does. But I'll tell you, the guy who absolutely thrilled me and reminded me why this is such exciting racing was Bubba Wallace.
I got
such a kick out of seeing him race his way to the front of that pack and... You know, of course he finished, 16th or something, but it felt good because you can appreciate Kyle Busch and his talent. You expect him to be up there, but when somebody else who you're pulling for, who you hope does well, actually just puts on a show, that is thrilling.
On old tires, he was still racing against guys with newer tires and doing a fantastic job. Is Kyle Busch, though, is he the best short track racer right now in NASCAR?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. You got to give it to Kyle Busch. If you don't believe me, just ask him.
Now, we expect a good finish every once in a while from a guy like Bubba Wallace when it's a plate track and everything's equal. For him to put on such a show at one of the toughest tracks that's on the circuit, I guess... Any doubt about this kid's talent that anyone might have had has got to be gone away by now.
Well, this is it. There's so many guys out there that, given the chance, given the opportunity, given good equipment, as good as anybody else out there. And that's what it always comes down to. This is why there's people out there that don't even have rides, that probably even better than Kyle Busch. We're never going to know their names. I've said this for years, just because they don't have a shot at getting in good equipment. There's some good drivers out there. Kyle Busch right now is certainly the best, but you gotta give a tip of the hat to Bubba Wallace at the show that he put on.
Well, folks, it is time for us to step out, take a brief break, but Lori and I will be back with more NASCAR talk. You're listening to The Final Inspection, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to The Final Inspection, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Lori and Dennis on a Saturday afternoon talking NASCAR. And Lori Monroe, we were talking about how great Kyle Busch is, but... A while ago, he said something that just made me laugh. Laugh out loud.
All right. LOL.
Got me a real giggle going.
Yeah. LOL.
When he talked about being concerned that some racers at some levels of the sport are racing big cars at too young of an age. This is a guy that broke into NASCAR at 16, for crying out loud. Does he forget? Is he getting one of those angry old men in his 30s who's shaking his fist and saying, "Getting off my lawn"?
I really don't know. This is such a unique sport, and there's going to be kids who are really, really talented, and you don't know how good they are until they basically become a history lesson, a page in a history book. Kyle Busch is one of those guys. But when you have like a 12-year-old or 11-year-old or whatever kid driving a big car, that is a little bit unnerving. It really is. So, you know, there's going to be instances where there's kids out there who drive better than people 10 times their age. But I really don't know. It's such an individual thing.
Here's the thing. I used to think that way, that, oh, there's got to be an age restriction because a 14-year-old couldn't possibly handle that big of a car and do a good job. It's not safe. They don't have the emotional makeup to do this. Then I met a kid while doing a story back in my front stretch days named Alex Kennedy. And when he broke into full-size stock car racing at the short track level, he was all of 13 years old, and I went for the test that he did out at Bear Field and then at Ileana the next day. And at both tracks, after a couple of warm-up laps, he pulled off the track because he didn't hear something right in the engine or transmission. And both times he saved the car from destroying itself as they went into the test. And both times an older driver had been out in that same car doing laps and didn't notice the same thing. So I learned that age is not a factor, at least not on the young side. But the question is, can you be too old to still be racing? And no, I'm not saying anything bad about you, Morgan Shepherd.
Well, then there's Herschel McGriff. You know, it's very quaint. And it's very much a feel-good story, but I really can't help but be slightly concerned. Now, I don't know if he's going to run a whole race or what he's going to do, but it really, you know, there's a lot of attention going to this. People are hearing a lot about it everywhere, because who on earth ever hears about a 90-year-old race car driver? That's a hell of a good age, Dennis Michelson, even for us.
I'd like to be breathing and doing a radio show at 90.
Well, this is it. I just don't know if your senses and your reflexes and your vision. Who cares about hearing? The youngest race car driver can't hear anymore anyway. But there's a lot of things against you, going against you when you're 90 years old. I just don't have a good feeling about this. We saw what happened with Larry Pearson several years ago on that race with all the old timers. I just don't know that we really need to see this.
Here's the problem that I have. It's not that he's of a certain age. It's the fact that he hasn't been racing for quite some time. So I'm kind of wondering if when you get your license to race at a particular level of NASCAR, shouldn't that license someday expire and that you have to re-qualify for it? I don't care if you're a 20-year-old kid coming up through the ranks,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you're crashing every week, or whether you're a 90-year-old man who's not been in a race car for a while that's getting back in. Shouldn't you have to re-qualify? Shouldn't there be some process in place to keep you from being able to do this if you're not quite ready? Because the guy's got his NASCAR license. As long as he's breathing and passes his physical, they're going to let him race because they want the story.
Yeah.
But is that story worth having a potential problem? Because at 90 years old, even if you're in 100% health, you're not going to have the reflexes on the road or the eyesight on the road or anything else. And I just remember driving with Grandpa Harry in the old pickup truck, and he scared the heck out of me when he was in his 80s. I can't imagine being on a race car with 40 other cars at that age.
Yeah, but, you know, this is just us coming off a conversation talking about how young kids should all be judged on an individual basis, too, before getting in a large car. So this could totally shock us. He could go out and do well, hold his own, not get into trouble, not cause trouble. We just don't know. I suppose we should just sit back, enjoy the show, And again, just take all of this, take all this different ages of people on an individual basis. And that's how we should judge them. There's probably 35-year-olds out there who shouldn't even be behind the wheel. We know, we see that every day on the road. So again, I guess I shouldn't judge them too hard, but just logically thinking, it just doesn't sound good.
We see that every week in the Cup Series with some of the rolling chicanes that are out there on the track.
Well, this is it, yeah.
Granted, they're in bad equipment, but they also don't know when the heck to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Look at the accidents that happen on a weekly basis, and you see the same cast of characters involved more often than not.
Yeah, you know, could be partially equipment, though, as you do say.
Could be equipment, but it could be an issue, but... What a crazy story, because if you're doing anything at 90 years of age, that's pretty remarkable. All right, Lori Monroe, heading to Richmond, the first night race. Let's put it to you this way, the first scheduled night race of the year.
Yeah.
We should have a heck of a show under the lights at Richmond.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I absolutely love Richmond. Let's hope it doesn't snow or sleet or something like that. And we have Xfinity, I guess, on Friday night as well. So a good doubleheader this weekend.
I think we're going to get lucky with the weather later tonight in Richmond. It is going to be a little chilly before the race ends, but it will be hot in Victory Lane for one driver. And who is going to Victory Lane, Lori Monroe?
You know, I really have a good feeling about Clint Bowyer again. I'm picking Clint.
I am picking a long shot this week. I am picking a guy that we've only seen little glimmers of good racing from this year. But would you believe that if I had to put money down on this race, I would take Alex Bowman this week?
You know, I can see that. That's not a bad pick.
I think the short track is going to even up the equipment a little bit. And I think we're starting to see the Hendrick Motorsports guys getting the handle on this car, and I expect big things from the Showman Bowman.
Very nice.
Thanks for tuning in to the NASCAR segment on the Final Inspection, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, pipe on back here in the studio. We want to say a big thank you to Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com for joining the show. Dennis Michelson, Lori Monroe, Race Talk Radio as well. Make sure you check out the Final Inspection Show on Facebook. If you search TFI for the Final Inspection Show, you will find it. Always great articles, great pictures posted by Steve and Eddie. And every now and then I throw some stuff up there as well. It's fantastic. You'll love it. Check us out on Twitter as well. So obviously, as we've been talking about, Richmond is tonight. Green flag flies at 5:44. We've got about a minute left, so your starting lineup, Truex is on the pole. Chase Elliott starts second, followed by Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Kurt Busch, Eric Jones, Jamie McMurray qualifying eighth. He's running well this year. William Byron in the 24. He starts ninth. Kevin Harvick, he starts 10th. Now, Alex Bowman, Dennis Michelson's pick to win the race, goes off 11th. Stenhouse in 12th. Ryan Blaney, he starts 13th. Newman, 14th. David Reagan, Clint Bowyer, Jimmy Johnson starts 17th. Bubba Wallace, 18th. Other notable drivers, Austin Dillon, the Weasel, he starts 23rd this week. Eric Amarola had a nice finish at Bristol. He rolls off 25th. Brad Keselowski, not a good qualifying effort for Bad Brad. He's 28th. Kyle Busch, 32nd. Ouch. We're back next week. More of the Final Inspection Show. We'll be back at you at 1 o'clock next week. It's a late start due to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show that's taking an hour of our time next week. So, on behalf of Steve Zocchi, I'm Jeff Orlowski. Thank you for listening to the Final Inspection. We'll talk to you, Milwaukee, next week. Enjoy the race.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. It's better over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.